Our scripture reading comes from Mark, and as I read, if you're seated on the outside of each row, you'll find an envelope there. If you'll begin passing the envelope toward the middle, you'll find a way to let us know if you're visiting with us so that we can welcome you properly, and also celebration and concern cards. Any filled out cards can be placed in the offering plate later in the service. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through Mark chapter 3, verse 6. On the Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions." And then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. Jesus looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. These are our sacred stories. Jesus and the disciples are walking through the fields. Andrew asks Bartholomew, "What was number four again? I'm always forgetting number four." Know-it-all Peter shouts from the back, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." James looks confused, so Peter continues, "You remember, come on, from Torah drills. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or your female slave or any of your livestock or the resident alien among you, so that they may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Judas rolls his eyes, and they keep walking. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record Jesus and his disciples doing work on the Sabbath. In Mark, as you heard in our scripture reading this morning, there's an account of Jesus curing a man's withered hand in a synagogue on the Sabbath. Luke tells of a healing of a crippled woman on the Sabbath, and on another Sabbath of Jesus healing a man with dropsy. John also writes of Jesus' curing a man who was paralyzed for 38 years on the Sabbath. Each of the synoptic gospels also contains a story of Jesus' disciples plucking heads of grain in the fields on Sabbath and eating them. The pattern in each of these stories is the same. Jesus does something on the Sabbath that the religious leaders believe to be prohibited. This is questioned, and Jesus makes a case. Jesus lists other examples of actions regularly taken on the Sabbath that could be considered work, but are commonly agreed to be permissible. Lifting a sheep, which has fallen into a pit. Saving a human life. Untying an ox or a donkey from its manger and leading it away to give it water. Pulling a child out of a well. The priests themselves working to perform Sabbath rituals. Oh, and that time that David and his friends were hungry and ate the bread of the presence. After making his case, Jesus ends discussion by noting that he is Lord of the Sabbath, and or that the Sabbath was made for humans and not humans for the Sabbath. But what is Sabbath? We typically hear only the shorthand of the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But as you heard in Peter's recitation, the full commandment asks the people to remember that you were a slave in Egypt. The commandments, all 10 of them, were given to a people who had just been delivered from oppressive slavery. In Egypt, the people were under constant demand, endless production. Pharaoh demanded more and more and more for his empire. There was no rest for the people, only constant toil. Pharaoh was taskmaster, and the people were a commodity of production. God is set in contrast to Pharaoh. God is relational. God is concerned not with production and commodities, but with community. First Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, in a recent book, Sabbath as Resistance, Saying No to the Culture of Now, writes, "The divine rest on the seventh day of creation has made clear that Yahweh is not a workaholic, that Yahweh is not anxious about the full functioning of creation, and that the well-being of creation does not depend on endless work." The well-being of creation does not depend on endless work. He continues by focusing on Sabbath as choice, the choice between restlessness and restfulness. Brueggemann points out the epidemic of restlessness in our society. The individualism that makes us think that we must make it, the consumeristic world in which we live, our culture of commodity, and the abuse of our land that comes with our insatiable appetite for consumer goods. These are all ways our restlessness manifests itself. Our restless anxiety to have what we want so often results in violence. If we cannot get what we want, we take it. Sabbath then invites us to step outside of this restless system. Sabbath is not an idea, but a practical act. It is a choice of neighbor over production, a choice of compassion over consumption. The people of Israel were delivered from Egypt, but they carried the anxiety of Egypt with them even as their bodies moved to Sinai. Egypt was about competition, about brick quotas. Neighborliness took a back seat to production, which was in Egypt survival. The idea that value was intrinsically tied to production created an anxiety which was difficult to change. Into this lasting anxiety comes the commandment to remember. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember and keep. Remember that you are more than you make. Remember your production does not equal your value. Remember, rest unifies. We can all rest. We all need rest. Brueggemann notes, you keep Sabbath by remembering. You do not have to do more. You do not have to sell more. You do not have to control more. You do not have to know more. You do not have to have your kids in ballet or soccer. You do not have to be younger or more beautiful. You do not have to score more. Sabbath is taking the time to be. It's leaving the anxiety and competitiveness, the endless production and acquiring with which we so often live our lives, and instead embracing a different way, a way of rest, of simplicity, of community. Jesus was neither the first nor the last to emphasize that Sabbath is more than not working one day a week. Second Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine points out that other Jewish rabbis, somewhat contemporaneous with Jesus, interpreted Sabbath similarly. To quote one of them, "The Sabbath is handed over to you, not you to it." Jesus wasn't alone in desiring Sabbath to be more than a duty, more than one more thing to add to an endless to-do list. The idea Jesus and other like-minded Jews of the time seemed to be putting forth was that Sabbath was not simply about not working. Rather, it's about not doing Pharaoh's work, and instead doing the Sabbath work of justice and care. Sabbath is a way of resisting acquisition and competition. It's a way of focusing on compassion, justice, and solidarity rather than consuming and producing. The Sabbath was made for humans and not humans for the Sabbath. Sabbath brings us back to our humanity, our shared humanity, our commonality. It helps us step out of the consumption and production rat race. Later that night, gathered around the campfire and picking raw grain from their teeth, Thomas pipes up. Do you really believe Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath, or were you just trying to make the Pharisees mad again? Do you doubt my veracity? Jesus answers. Thomas shrugs. Thaddeus admits to being confused too. Peter, hand raised and bouncing on his feet, begins to answer before being acknowledged. Sabbath is a way of life, a way of being. It's not so much about individual rest as it is about seeking rest for everyone, justice for everyone. It's not another rule to be followed. It's a way to treat people. Judas groans and rolls over in his sleeping bag. Sabbath is not one more thing to do, one more task to accomplish. Sabbath is for humankind. It reorients us to our neighbors, to compassion, to justice, to peace. When we practice Sabbath as a way of life, we become an agent of healing in our own lives and in our world. Sabbath is neighbor over production. It's compassion over consumption. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This fourth commandment is the bridge between the commandments about God and the commandments about neighbor. The first three commandments are about how we are to interact with God, and the last six are about how we connect with our neighbors. Sabbath connects God and community. It's how we learn to see ourselves and each other as more than producers, more than consumers. I wonder if on this Labor Day weekend, I wonder how we might honor Sabbath, how we might remember and keep it. Could we recognize the workers around us, offer a smile, a word of encouragement, the dignity that is ours to give simply by seeing and acknowledging? We might remember and keep it by taking a break from our production and consumption. Maybe it's time with friends in flesh rather than friends in phone. Maybe it's seeing ourselves and knowing that our value is more than the number of bricks we can make. There is no doubt that our culture praises production over people and the bottom line over bodies. But we can choose another way. When we, with intention and purpose, choose to see each other as humans and not as commodities, we are choosing Sabbath. I pray that this Labor Day weekend, we will seek a Sabbath way of life. Amen.